energy. The time is 7 o'clock. It's time for the Bay Area's favorite game show, Minds Over Matter. Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you have an hour to spare this Sunday because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are encouraging your participation in every way possible. So tear yourself away from the Olympics for an hour or so, and we hope we will entertain you. The number to join us here is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, just about everything else. So, again, we may even have a couple of Olympics questions. I wouldn't be too surprised. I think I have one myself. So, that's area code 415-841-4134. Our email address is mindsovermatter. That's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week, it's always great to hear from you. So if you have an idea for a question, of course, please pass that along to us because, you know, after 19 years or so, we could really use the help. And actually, it will be 19 years next month. So, yeah.
I thought it would be 20 years coming up.
No, 20 years in
2013?
Next in the, yeah.
Oh.
2013. Okay. So. And again, so it's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear us online, you can do that anywhere in the known world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you like a podcast of this show, since the ultra-competent Debbie is here, I know it will be done in the absolute perfectionist way that she is famous for. So that will be available after the show at kalw.org. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first. Jerry always looking at me in the worried look that I'm going to screw up his introduction. Jerry Nachman was depressed this week to read that the 110-year-old Weekly Reader, his primary news source at the age of 10, is folding.
Wow.
And it isn't even going online. He wonders how kids will learn of the world beyond the Tweetly Reader.
Thank you, Dana. Very, very well done. Very well done. Laurie Fisher intends to pay homage to his favorite Olympic event, the hop, skip, and a jump, by participating in the much more challenging rest, snap, nap, and a snooze.
There you go. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is thinking of visiting London in the fall, if only to apologize for Mitt Romney.
Okay, so that is us, and we begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, who was the first female singer to be awarded a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Prize in 1991?
Is this person still alive?
No.
Okay.
Ella Fitzgerald.
No.
Yeah, that would have been a good guess.
That was a little bit of a surprise to me because I've heard of her, but she's not in that pantheon exactly.
Was she alive when she received the award?
Yes.
Right. Huh.
91.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did she die soon after that?
No.
Okay. And you're not saying what kind of singer she was?
I will later.
All right. 1991. Sarah Vaughan.
No.
All right. Will the answer surprise us? Like,
it might.
Like they're not deserving?
No, they're deserving, but it surprised me.
All right.
Because I would have put people like Ella Fitzgerald and some others.
Are we in the right genre even, or should we steer more pop or more classical?
You're not quite in the right genre so far.
All right.
All right. Why don't you read the question once more?
Okay. Who was the first female singer to be awarded a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 1991?
All right. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I think I have my son Zachary to thank for inspiring this question. He read something in Sports Illustrated, made me wonder about what are the three fastest moving objects in the Olympics? So these aren't humans. These are things that it came up. We were watching ping pong and say, boy, that ping pong ball goes very fast and it goes about 70 miles an hour. These all go faster.
Well, I think
than
the
that.
Badminton shuttlecock is the fastest thing in sports, supposedly.
It's third in the Olympics at 180 miles an hour. So that's great. So that's one of them.
Two even faster. Huh?
There are.
And this is a non-human object.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and it's a non-living object. So just in case you thought it was a horse, although they don't move very fast, it's not that. These are all man-made things. A badminton shuttlecock.
Well, a bullet.
Excellent. That's second.
Oh, and of course,
and
an arrow.
Archery. Yes.
Well, the arrow's up there, faster than badminton, slower than a bullet. But there's something now faster than a bullet.
Faster than a
speeding bullet.
Superman.
This is the first time it's in the Olympics.
There is a marksmanship.
This has to do with marksmanship, and it's
not a bullet.
It's not a bullet. It goes faster than if they're using it for the first time. I'll give you a hint: in the pentathlon, as if that would help you. And it's not a bullet.
Oh, is it the?
And they're using it for the first time.
For the first time in the Olympics, yeah, it's replacing the bullet.
Is it the hammer throw?
No, the hammer is not a very fast
moving
object.
Well, no, and they fling those babies.
I guess not. I have the disc. The badminton is at 180. The discus is at 12. So that's
how about javelin?
The javelin's at the same as the ping pong ball. Okay. This is faster than a bullet.
How fast is the ping pong ball?
70.
But it's 70. Propelled by a human.
It's propelled by a human, like a bullet would be.
Okay. How fast was the badminton?
The badminton was at 180.
Do they have knife throwing?
Not to my knowledge.
How can anything be faster than a bullet? It doesn't.
This is a good one to leave for the crowd.
All right.
They'll get it.
Read the whole thing once.
All right, I was looking for the three fastest moving objects in the Olympics, and Jerry got the badminton shuttlecock at about 180 at its fastest, the bullet at 402. The volleyball goes over 100 miles an hour, by the way, when it's hit. But that isn't in the top three. So I'm looking for the very top one, and it's faster than a speeding bullet.
Okay. All right. All right.
Can it leap tall buildings in a single bound?
I think it could, under the right circumstances.
So here's an Olympics question. There are four. Now, you have to get all four in order to get the right answer. Okay? So I won't give you credit to you unless you get all four. There are four Olympic sports in which the U.S. has never won a medal, ever, in the Summer Olympics. So, what are they?
Well, we're getting all four. I'll be happy if I get one. These are sports that currently exist.
Yes.
Okay, because there's lots of discontinued ones.
No, these are all current. There are four current sports in the Olympics in which the U.S. has never won a medal of any kind. So not even good conduct. So
participation.
Not even that. So you have to get all four to get the.
And just to be clear, it's not enough. So it's not an event, say in track, where they've never won a medal in the.
No, these are all individual.
Okay.
Sports, I guess you could call them.
Well, what about ping pong?
You have to get all four.
Come on.
I'd say two or three out of four. I think one at a time is great.
Yeah, four is impossible. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway.
So what are the four, and you have to get all four, the four Olympic sports in which the U.S. has never won a medal in the Summer Olympics?
Well, you won't tell us, but I would think it might be Taekwondo.
That makes sense. I'm not even sure what that is.
It's a form of martial arts.
Okay.
It's in there.
I should just give a slight sidebar to this by saying it's nothing that's starting this year. So, in other words, if Taekwondo is this, for instance,
no,
for the first year.
Taekwondo's been around, but but they're well established.
Yeah, but it's not Taekwondo anyway.
Okay.
How about the big fat Japanese guy?
Sumo wrestling.
That's not in the Olympics. So, what are the four Olympic sports in which the U.S. has never won a medal? Okay, now, second question.
And so, even if we guess one, we have to guess all four.
Yeah, just make up a list of four.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. They're not obscure. It's not really obscure.
I'm putting archeries maybe on the list. I don't think Debbie says
no, because we won a silver medal.
Yeah, I remember somebody won. Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday.
Yeah.
Before yesterday.
Before yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. All right. And second question, what are the two most frequently shown classic American movies on TV in the United States pre-1965? What are the two most frequently shown classic American movies on U.S. TV? And when I say, you know, classic American movies, it's pre-1965.
Well, on Channel 9 and on and on Netflix, it has to be Casablanca.
That is one.
That is one.
What is the other?
Is it a drama?
Yeah.
Is it a heartwarming Christmas movie called It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Oh.
I think
they only show that around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So, no, this is shown all the, you know, shows all up all the time. So what are the two most frequently shown classic American movies on U.S. TV? This is nationwide, and these are both pre-1965.
What? Wizard of Oz?
No.
No? Mm-mm. Getting right genre or more like
wrong
drama?
Genre.
Okay.
And it's a drama. You hesitated slightly because maybe it's a light drama?
No, there's more. It's not a comedy.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not a musical. Okay. It's not Singing in the Rain or anything.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin.
I'm going to take a stab at that movie. I'll try Psycho.
Not Psycho.
Okay. For Jerry's question about the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
I was talking to the producer. I couldn't hear what was already guessed. Who was already guessed?
Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan. That's all.
But I'm going to go with Aretha Franklin.
No.
Good guess.
All right.
But Jerry did say, after a little prying, that this person was no longer alive.
Oh.
So.
How about, I think Lena Horne passed away. How about her?
No.
Okay. All right. So I have a question for you. Two questions for you guys.
Yeah.
There are only four daytime soap operas still on the air. How many can you name?
One Life to Live.
Nope.
Oh, that's not on anymore. General Hospital.
General Hospital, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guiding Light.
No, that's
all. The Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Really?
All right.
All My Children, is that?
No, that's not on either.
Days of Our Lives?
Days of Our Lives. There's one more.
Okay.
Yeah. We have three?
Kind of the same.
I thought they all went off.
Debbie came up with The Young and the Restless.
Young and the Restless, yeah.
Oh.
So
three.
Oh, that's three?
Oh, wait a minute. That's We got The Bold and the Beautiful.
General Hospital. Young and the Restless.
And
Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives. Right. Yeah, we got them all.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give us a bell.
So then, what was the last daytime soap opera to be created? This would have been in 1999. And I don't expect you to get this, so I thought we'd...
Dark Shadows.
Can't get it.
Dark Shadows?
No.
Passions.
1999. Sorry, 1999.
Passions.
You got it. Whoa. Good job.
Nice going.
Yeah. was that the crazy one about the
Debbie's not
the midget and the witch or something?
She still
like that.
DVRs it every day.
Yeah, right, there you go.
it was about the closest to Dark Shadows than anything else.
All right.
In here.
Is it still on?
No.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Bye
bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
From San Francisco. Is it Josephine Baker?
No.
Yes?
No.
Good guess.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Well, thanks, Lisa. Bye-bye. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Oh, that was fast. What's the only U.S. state with no letters in common with its capital's name? I had a slight feeling you might have asked that because you're Mr. State's Capital and... But I'll give you, well, you'll either get it or you won't get it. No?
Is it Pierre? Is it North Dakota? Is it Pierre?
It is.
Yeah.
Did you ask that once?
I don't know if I've asked it, but it's one of those things.
It's Pierre, North Dakota?
Pierre, yeah. North Dakota,
isn't
yeah.
Isn't there an R in both?
No.
No, Pierre, there's no
South, R? South Dakota.
In the word North.
South Dakota, South I'm sorry. Dakota. South Dakota. I'm
thank
sorry.
You.
Okay.
South Dakota.
Oh, I thought that was
it's Bismarck, North Dakota.
Oh, heck, I thought it was
all right.
Okay, I'll get
it. I knew it was one of the Dakotas.
There's an R in that, too.
What state ends with the state's own postal abbreviation?
Oh, that's good.
I actually got this when I read it. I didn't
What state ends with the two-letter abbreviation? And you got it.
I have to think about that. All okay. Right, read that once more.
What state ends with the state's own postal abbreviation?
All right.
Is it Arkansas?
No.
And give us a call if you'd like to join in with a question or answer. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Here from San Mateo.
Hello.
Is that singer who received the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award? Is it Peggy Lee?
Peggy Lee. Jerry?
No.
Oh, too bad. All right, here's one. I got a couple questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who was originally offered the role of LaBeouf and True Grit but declined because he won a top billing over John Wayne?
I didn't hear the first part
first
of that.
First part of that
slowly,
again?
Slowly, slowly, slowly.
Who was originally offered the role of LaBeouf in True Grit but declined because he won a top billing over John Wayne?
So the role that Glenn Campbell ended up playing. You won a top billing over John Wayne.
John Wayne, huh?
Really?
Was offered a singer, by the way.
He was what?
It was a singer.
Oh, a singer.
Tommy Sands.
No.
Excellent guess.
Was it a singer who
thought he was a lot more popular than John Wayne?
Was it a singer who was also a well-known actor or just a singer?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he made a lot of movies. 50 Cent. I'll give you a clue.
Say it again.
It's a song. Started career in the '50s.
Bobby Darin.
No.
Not
bad. Mm. He was in a few movies.
Yeah. But this guy made a lot of movies, huh?
Yeah. Gee.
A lot of movies.
Elvis.
Yes, give me some of them.
Oh, my God.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I could see why he'd demand top billing, too.
Yeah. I'm going to have to excuse Jerry for this. He knows the answer to this question. You know, there was a big ballyhoo over that WWE's Monday Night Raw having more episodes than any other franchise television series. Which show actually has 68 more episodes than Raw?
I'm sorry, you got to re-say it again. I just missed it.
Well, despite that it was the ballyhoo, you know, there was some ballyhoos last Monday about WWE's Monday Night Raw having more shows than any other franchise television series.
Okay.
Which actually has 68 more episodes.
than any other episodic show.
Yeah, Jerry knows the answer to this question.
Oh,
I can't.
Oh, Jerry.
I haven't even got
you
the
would
question.
Know the answer to this question.
Which has the most primetime episodes? Which TV show?
Oh, what TV show the most primetime episodes?
And
The Ed Sullivan Show. The Ed Sullivan Show.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He mentioned it on Raw. He mentioned about Gunsmoke, Law and Order, but not the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right.
Why?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah. Give us a vote.
All right. We will. Yeah. Okay. Bye. And let's see, Maury, your turn, I think it is.
All right. Well, I'm keeping on the Olympic theme here. There have been lots of reasons that the Olympics have been boycotted, although I think this year no one is officially boycotting it. In 1956 in Melbourne.
Mitt Romney is.
No, that's right. In 1956 in Melbourne, there were three different groups boycotting for three different reasons. So one group was Liechtenstein, the Netherlands, Spain, and Sweden all boycotted. How come?
In what year?
56. These are all going to be 1956 Olympic questions, so they did not go to Melbourne. Liechtenstein, the Netherlands, Spain, and Sweden boycotted for the protesting something.
That's something in Australia?
It was something not in Australia. Right. And then the second group is Egypt, Lebanon, and Iraq, boycotted for a different reason.
Gee.
In 56.
Mm-hmm. And the People's Republic of China didn't go for a third reason.
All right. Well, 56 must have something to do with Suez, the Suez crisis, which would be Egypt,
correct.
I'm sure.
Egypt, Lebanon, and Iraq didn't go because of the Suez crisis. Very good.
And were some of the other ones the Hungarian Revolution?
Excellent. Liechtenstein, the Netherlands, Spain, and Sweden didn't go because of the Soviet invasion of Hungary.
Okay.
And the last one is, why didn't the People's Republic of China go?
I don't think they were in the Olympics until later on, were they?
Well, apparently they were invited. And they refused to participate.
Because Taiwan was...
That's all three.
Okay.
Yeah, three bells. Very good.
All right.
Very nice.
All right, give us something else.
All right. Oh, this one I'll give you. Who was the first black athlete to compete in the Olympics? I don't think you'll know his name, but I'm interested in the year, the country he or she was from, and what event it was.
So who was the first black
athlete to compete in the Olympics?
Was it from Ethiopia?
No.
Is that American?
No. The country, the year, and this is the modern Olympics.
And it's a name that we know.
It's a name you won't know. Well, I'd be stunned if you knew it.
Well,
but you might be able to guess the country,
the time period, and
the event.
Okay, and the event.
Yeah.
Well, this is before Jesse Owens.
Yes.
Okay. It's a sprint. So it's 100 meters?
It was not a sprint.
Uh-huh. Oh.
It's an event that's been discontinued.
Oh.
Well-known event, but it's been discontinued.
Gee.
It's not the tug of war, is it?
It is the tug of war.
Is it the tug of war? Okay.
Very good.
I heard there was something on the radio the other day about they want to bring the tug of war back, which I think would be fun. And,
I think it would be great. Yeah. So that's part one, is what was the event?
Well, that was only...
So that's a team sport, though, isn't it?
It's a team sport.
He was part
of the team.
If I recall, I think they said they only had the tug of war until 1920. So it has to be before,
before
1920 or previous. Yeah.
You wonder who the adherents are that are that inflamed that they would try to get the tug of war reinstated.
All the tug of war. It's a big club sport.
Of all the causes in the world, you know.
Obviously I couldn't tell you the name of the
athlete.
Maybe
the tug of peace now. They would have to change the name. No, you won't know the name of the athlete, but you might know the country, and you've already narrowed that.
I might know the country.
Tug of war.
Well, you might.
Is it a major country?
Yes.
Tug of war. What?
Well,
I wouldn't think of it in terms of which countries were in the tug of war.
Is it a country that's primarily not black?
Yes.
All right. Well.
Well, Ireland. That seems like an Irish kind of sport.
Yeah, it's not Ireland.
I wouldn't have been terribly surprised if there had been a black athlete from either the UK or France.
It's France.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
And now the last part is just, so it's a tug of war from France. I'll give you the year. It was 1900.
Oh.
It's the second modern Olympics. Very good.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and the name, great name, Constantin Enriquez de Zubera is the name of the first black athlete in the Olympics. Very good name.
Right. And let's go do a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi.
Hello, this is David Price Welty in San Francisco.
Hi, David.
Thank you. Your questions are great tonight. Perhaps I have an answer or two, and then I have a question.
Okay.
Would one of your two movies on television be Sunset Boulevard?
It is not. Well, Jerry got one, which was Casablanca. The other is no, it's not Sunset Boulevard.
Okay, I'll wait in here. Then would, knowing the nerdity of the recording industry, could it be Dinah Shore?
No.
That's a good guess. That makes a lot of sense.
It's a good guess, but she was not as big as Dinah Shore or any of the people we've guessed.
She was big,
but she was not in that. Not quite at that level in terms of general public.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I guess the last question or the question I have to put out is, there was a very influential and enormous industrial designer that designed the livery since our presidential plane was here in town. Jackie Kennedy enrolled him to design the livery for the Air Force One. He also designed the Shell logo, Lucky Strike logo, Exxon, things for Studebaker.
We know his name?
If you don't, it would be a good one to know. He's the first industrial designer.
Raymond Loewy?
Exactly.
Oh, nice. Good job. Jerry.
Good job. Very nice.
He's the only industrial designer
I know.
Well,
there you go.
It's really worth looking up and finding out all of his influences.
Yeah.
That's a very impressive body of work.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Well, Eames is the only other one, I think.
So that's a furniture designer.
What?
Eames is a furniture designer.
Well, other things, too, I think. Okay. But anyway.
Okay. Since this is the presidential election year.
It is?
And it's dirty as ever. So I'm gonna give you five losing presidential candidates, major party. I mean, they're obviously either a Democrat or a Republican. And I want you to tell me who they ran against. Okay? These are five. These are all in the 20th century.
These are all losers.
They're all losers.
Presidential losers.
Presidential, major party presidential candidates who lost. I want you to tell me who they lost to. Okay? Mm-hmm. Number one, John W. Davis. Number two, Judge Alton B. Parker. Number three, Charles Evans Hughes. Number four, James Cox, COX. Number five, Al Smith. So again, these are losing major party presidential candidates. Please tell me who they lost to. Number one, John W. Davis. Number two, Judge Alton B. Parker. Number three, Charles Evans Hughes. Number four, James Cox. Number five, Al Smith. I'll give you each one guess.
Al Smith ran against FDR, didn't he?
No.
He didn't?
No, he was in the same party as FDR.
Oh, you mean...
Yeah.
Who do you... Who, oh,
in the general
in
election.
In the general election.
Right.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I get another guess. That doesn't count.
Al Smith ran against Hoover?
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
And Cox, geez.
Right.
Was Cox a Republican, do you know?
I don't know.
I'm going to say Cox against FDR.
No.
Okay.
Charles Hughes is the only other name I know.
John Davis I've heard. John W. Davis I've heard of, but I don't.
He was a well-known Wall Street lawyer.
Yeah.
So
all of these are pre-FDR. Would that be fair to say now?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
How about Davis versus FDR?
No.
I give up.
No. So again, we're losing. These are the losing presidential candidates for major parties in the 20th century. Tell me who they lost to. Number one, John W. Davis. Number two, Judge Alton B. Parker. Number three, Charles Evans Hughes. Number four, James Cox. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We hope you're enjoying the show. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We certainly enjoy bringing the show to you. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman. Of course, his last book, and not hopefully not his last forever, but his last book was right here on our stage tonight, Ed Sullivan's America. And Lori Fisher teaches English at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you are listening to us on 91.7 FM.
Can I make another guess?
91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio
okay,
station.
We
don't
all
step
that.
On
we
me.
We all know that.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Step on the stars line.
Yes,
not
right.
A good idea. How about for the other movie, the TV most, Grapes of Wrath?
No.
Okay.
How about that Charles Hughes ran against Teddy Roosevelt?
No.
Okay.
And let's go to a call.
Striking out left and right.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Bubba Frisco, Dave.
Hello.
Good evening. Did you say that the Lifetime Grammy winner was not well-known?
She's well-known, but she's not as well-known as the guesses so far. She's not, I mean, everyone would know her name, but she's not as well-known as Ella Fitzgerald or Sarah Vaughan or Peggy Lee, so on.
Madam Schumann-Hink.
Uh-huh. How about Billie Holiday?
No.
No? Okay. First, movies.
Yes.
How about Citizen Kane?
No.
Okay. And I have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who has won the most Grammys?
Is it a producer rather than a singer?
Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
It's not a singer.
Quincy Jones?
No.
Oh.
He's won a lot.
Henry Mancini won quite a few. Is it a composer?
No.
All right.
And not a producer.
It's a singer.
Oh, it is
not
a singer.
A producer.
Is
not
it
a
singer?
Singer.
Is, no. It a, is it like a sound engineer or a sound engineer?
No.
Will we know the person's name?
Should, yes.
Oh, it's not, is Sir George Schulte?
That's right.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Very good.
Yeah. I remember that.
Great, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Good job.
All right. Take care.
All right, thank you.
On the singer, is there a particular reason they awarded it to her? Was she dying?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I can't. I don't know of what it would be.
Rosemary Clooney.
No.
All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Hey, good.
Very good. So I have a couple questions for you. Number one, sitting at your studio, how fast is your body moving relative to the center of Earth per hour?
Jerry's is moving at all.
Mine very rarely moves compared to anything.
Yeah, well, you're actually moving very fast. How fast do you think?
I don't know.
Well, I think the Earth is 24 hours to go, and the circumference of the Earth is 24,000 miles. So how many miles per hour?
1,000 miles. 1,000 miles per hour. There you
go. Okay.
Good job.
Good. to give yourself a belt.
Hey,
the second thing
that is...
I was watching you move.
Yeah, in the United States, if you get tired of your wife, either divorce him or kill him. Sometimes it happens. This country, until recently, you could actually, if you get tired of your wife, what you do, put her in the auction block. Until 1923, you could do that. You could tired of your wife, you don't divorce her, you just put her.
That's a good idea.
You put her in auction. What country is it?
Egypt.
No.
Sorry.
I remember reading some story in Egypt where
women have far better right in Egypt than anywhere else, you know, thousands of years ago.
I remember reading a book by Robert Graves where he taught in Egypt, and he said if an Egyptian man, this is back in the 20s, said, I divorce you three times,
so
then you're divorced.
This is Islamic law, but the wives just go away. Yeah, that's just Islamic principle. No, let's talk. Actually, the answer will surprise you.
All right.
It is until 1923.
Is it a pretty industrialized country?
I will give you the answer because it's very surprising. I just found out yesterday, and it's true. England.
Oh.
England.
Wow.
England.
Okay. 1923? You could do that?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I want you to name a city in the Bay Area that is named after a biblical city in the ancient time. What city? It's in the Bay Area. I'll give you more hints.
Antioch.
Very good. What country was it in?
Antioch's in, it's an old crusader city.
It was actually long before they attacked.
Well, I know, but that's how I remember it, the name. It's in Syria.
Very good.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, one question for your audience. Cows have three stomachs, you know, so have as many other mammals. There's only one creature that has three hearts. And it's a big creature. It actually has three hearts. So we'll leave that to the audience. Hopefully somebody will get it.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Is it a well-known creature?
A well-known creature, yes.
Okay.
Leave the answer.
If you go to, I won't give you more hints. But it's really interesting.
Is it the earthworm? The worm? No.
It is a big creature. It can be as big as you or even bigger or smaller. It can be very...
That big.
Cows have three. I thought cows had two stomachs. They have three stomachs?
No. Yes, they do.
They must have a hard time on Weight Watchers, you know.
Ruminants.
Well, if you want to get that, I tell you what, because most audience wouldn't even know. It is a sea creature.
A sea creature.
Yeah.
A couple of guesses.
The shark.
No, a shark actually is a fish.
An octopus.
Octopus it is, yes. Yes.
You're hot.
Thank you.
On fire. Venus, on fire.
Good dinner. Good dinner.
Well, it has to feed all.
Thanks, Ed. Bye-bye.
Yeah, never mind.
All right. And Jerry Churchill, I think.
All right. All righty. What word has the greatest number of definitions in the Oxford English Dictionary?
Well,
I think we asked this, but it's one of those things you've got to remember.
I think every time I say it, it's. I think I once read it was the word run.
No, okay. Run has a lot.
Run has many.
Many. This has 464 definitions.
Oh, I was going to say set.
Set is it.
Oh, very nice.
That.
Man,
yeah, got
that's
it.
Good.
All right.
Don't hate me because I'm being...
No. All right, I'll give you one more quickie. Let's see if I have one here. What do Helen Hayes, Lucille Ball, Joel Grey, Blythe Danner, and Raymond Massey all have in common? Besides the fact that they are actors, yes.
Give that list.
That list is Helen Hayes, Lucille Ball, Joel Grey, Blythe Danner, and Raymond Massey.
So is this going to be something in their biography, like they're left-handed, or they were born in Wyoming, or more like a performance award?
It's a biographical aspect.
No, they're not all Canadian.
No.
Raymond Massey was, but...
Massey, yeah.
I don't know.
Is this something to do with people in their family?
Like
their children of people, or their children are celebrities? I'm getting close. Joel Grey's father was a famous performer, and Blythe Danner's daughter is Gwyneth Paltrow. So is that...
Well,
Raymond Massey's...
No, they all...
Had
they
two
all,
children who were actors.
They're all parents of children. Actors. They're all parents of actors.
Okay.
Helen Hayes, Lucille Ball, Joel Grey, Raymond Massey, and Blythe Danner. Yeah. And I had a bunch more, but those would be too easy.
Okay. I don't, who's Joel Grey's kids?
Jennifer Grey.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And I had Ryan O'Neill. There's a lot. Kirk Douglas, Ed Begley, Henry Fonda, John Carradine. Okay.
And you're counting like Desi Arnaz Jr. and Little Lucy, huh? And all right.
Dino Martin.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Mike. I'm Daly City.
Hi, Mike.
I have a lot of guesses. Probably most of them not right. Charles Evans Hughes, Coolidge?
No.
The state ending in its own postal code, Oregon?
No.
Ooh.
I couldn't think of one that was closer than that.
The
singer on...
No, that's a good one.
It's O.R.? I wasn't sure if it was O.R. or O.M. The singer honored Lifetime Achievement. I have two possible guesses. Kate Smith or Ethel Merman?
No.
Neither one.
No.
Good guesses.
No.
All right. And then sports in the Olympics. I have a clarification which might help the panel later on, if nothing else. Are you including, say, track and field as a sport, or are you including the 10,000 meters as a sport?
I am not including any track and field here. In
so the 10,000 meters, just because it's an event?
No, there are no track and field events in the four that I have.
Okay, so then let me try my four sports.
Okay.
Table tennis, soccer, but again, that was my other question, men's and women's, or can it be men's soccer?
This is unisex.
Yeah, men's soccer, because I know the women have one. And then weightlifting. And I'm going to take a long shot on cycling.
No.
Because I think Armstrong might have won one.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to tell us how many he got right, even?
He got at least one right.
Okay.
Well, there's a great American weightlifter, Paul Anderson. Remember him?
I do.
In the 60s, yeah.
Was that it?
Those are all my guesses.
Well, thank you.
So you could let us in on some hints on that one.
On which one?
On the four things.
Yeah, well, I just told you there are no track and field events.
Okay.
Okay.
But you won't tell us if ping pong's one of them. Huh?
And I think we can safely say that ping pong is one of them.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So you're only looking for three.
Okay.
Is archery one of them?
No.
Oh, you told me that. Okay.
Yes. No. Nice. But we had won a medal before in this year.
Okay.
Archery.
Halftime.
Oh yeah.
Catch
okay.
up on the.
All right. All right. Let's repeat.
Because I want to give you a clue on mine.
Okay. Go ahead.
Mine. Who is the first female singer to be awarded a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Prize in 1991? And she was only the third country singer so honored.
Oh, how about Patsy Cline?
No, that's what I would have thought.
Loretta Lynn?
No.
Oh. 1990. Only third ever. I mean, third at that time.
Third country singer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the time, yeah.
Country singer, but it's a. I'm sorry, you said it was a she.
Yeah.
June Carter.
No.
Country singer, but it's not Patsy Cline
or Loretta Lynn or June Carter Cash.
Or but the other one. Who's the other one? Not Loretta Lynn. The
Tammy Wynette.
Tammy Wynette.
No.
Okay, not her either.
But well known, I mean, like one of these people.
Yeah,
right? We're close
yeah
enough.
But not quite as well known.
Debbie knows.
Who?
I don't know.
No.
Dolly Parton.
Minnie Pearl. No.
Thank you, Debbie.
No.
Dolly Parton should get us.
Well,
some sort of
Debbie
lifetime
did a great pantomime, so that's how I got that clue.
Yeah.
Was that it?
What?
Okay.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
Yes. No, what state ends with the state's own postal abbreviation?
Right.
Question. Nobody's
right.
got that yet. Okay.
All right. Lori, what do you have?
I have the fastest moving object in the Olympics. And brilliantly, you had the badminton. I had the top three, badminton and bullet. And this goes faster than a bullet. And it's in the Olympics for the first time this year. And I think I'll safely say, as a hint, it replaced the bullet. So instead of shooting bullets, they are shooting this.
Water.
No.
Blanks.
No.
They're
using it in the pentathlon.
I can't imagine anything is faster than the bullet.
Well, this is.
Okay.
Quite a bit, according
and,
to...
And in the pentathlon, because those are pretty basic sports in the pentathlon, aren't they?
Well, I'm going to ask you. My next question is about that.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay.
All right. What are the two most frequently shown classic American movies on TV across the country? One is Casablanca. I think Jerry got that. And these are both pre-1965 films. And the other is not Casablanca. So what is that? What are the two most frequently shown movies on network TV in this country?
Is it directed by a very well-known director?
Well, to me, it's a well-known director. To you, it may not be a well-known director.
No, that you don't count.
No, it's, well, I mean, it's directed by a good,
like,
solid...
Howard Hawks or William Wellman.
No, I just like maybe one peg below that.
Oh, okay.
But a good, a very good, solid director.
Okay.
I have the postal code.
Okay, what is it?
Kentucky.
Right. Kentucky.
Oh, good
very
job.
Good.
Good job.
Excellent.
Now it's on my mind.
I forgot to... I want to repeat the other one here. Yes, so I'm still looking for some of the losing presidential candidates. I'll give you the losing candidate of a major party and tell me who they lost to. This is all the 20th century, by the way. Number one, John W. Davis. Number two, Alton B. Parker. Number three, Charles Evans Hughes. And number four, James Cox. So who did they lose to? Remember, it's all 20th century. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is this me?
It is you.
This is Bart in San Francisco.
Hi, Bart.
Hi. my guess, James Cox was defeated by Warren G. Harding.
Correct.
Thank you.
Good job. He was the governor of Ohio, as a matter of fact.
And, right. Thank you very much.
Owned a bunch of newspapers there. Thank you.
And Harding was from Ohio, too, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, Cox's running mate was Franklin D. Roosevelt. So
that's
nice.
How I kept the, had the association.
Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
In the Pacific Heights.
Hi.
I think that other movie just might be It's a Wonderful Life.
It is not. They tend to show that more certain times of the year rather than all year long.
That was my guess.
But no, it's not that.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you. And Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. The modern pentathlon consists of five events. What are they?
Oh, gee,
You just said they're very basic.
Yeah, but I still don't know what they are.
We know it's not the tug of war.
It's not the tug of war.
Well, it's a 100-meter sprint dash.
No.
No.
Not. It's not the 100-meter sprint. You might be thinking of the decathlon, where the 100 meters. This is the pentathlon. And there's
220 hurdles.
No.
Okay, I give up. I don't know. There's too many events. Yeah.
There's a theme of them, if you know the history of the pentathlon.
I don't.
Okay. Dana, you
Greco-Roman wrestling.
I'll hold off on the hint. What do you have?
Is there a word as cathlon that you could say cathlon because there's a decathlon? How is that reductive?
Well, the deca is the 10 events,
so
and the pent
events.
Is the five.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
and there's the hepta, which is seven.
Do they have that?
Yeah, they do. It's seven women's track events. I think it's the women's version of the decathlon.
Okay.
I'll give you the hint then, since I'm looking at the clock and people might call in. George Patton participated in the pentathlon before he went on to military fame.
Wow, that's a great...
He was an equestrian.
Well, that's one of the events, yeah?
He won a medal in...
Okay,
or
so
one of the
events is show jumping. That's one of the five pentathlon events.
They aren't basic events.
They aren't track and field. I don't want to give you too much here.
Okay.
Show jumping is one of the events.
And maybe as far as
people, people can call in with the others. They're kind of interesting.
It's too obscure.
And Patton did them, so what kinds of things would he have done?
Sure.
And
marksmanship.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you are.
Hi, my name is Govind, and I'm calling from Redwood City.
So,
I'd like to point out a mistake in your last week's show. You had a question about Gandhi being a reporter in the Los Angeles Olympics or something?
Yes.
That's not true at all. Gandhi was in jail at the time.
Oops.
In India. He was busy, I think, trying to drive the British out of India.
You know, I have my doubts about that, but there were at least three sources that I found that said that. So unless they're all getting it from the same wrong source, I don't know.
This is something which has been repeated all the time, and it's true. Not true. Okay, the answer to the fastest moving object, this is a guess for me.
Yes.
The reason why I'm making this guess is the tip of a whip, I think, moves faster than sound. You get a miniature sonic boom. So
what?
The tip of a whip?
Oh.
Well, is there an Olympic event that has a whip in it?
No, but I'm guessing the Olympic event is fencing.
I've heard that about the whip.
Fencing. Oh, I see.
You know what? I don't know. That could be right. I don't know. Does the tip of a fencing foil go faster than 400 miles an hour,
no.
you think?
No, it's just
you're not throwing it.
It's just a thrust.
I don't think it breaks the speed of sound. But, I'm going to put it on the – I'm on next week. I will check if that's right. That's a great guess.
Oh, I've heard about the whip, but I don't think that's in an event that I can.
Yeah,
who
think,
knows?
I don't think it's in
well
a sword.
Be.
I don't think they break the speed of
the
sound.
The whipathlon.
It's a different sort of Olympics. The
well,
Olympic.
Was there anything else?
Yes, I have a couple of questions if you guys want.
Okay, go ahead.
So, how do you connect Benjamin Franklin, Henry Kissinger, Albert Einstein, and Steve Jobs?
How do you
have something in common?
They were all adopted.
No.
No, I'm not sure that's true.
Kissinger, Einstein, who else?
Ben Franklin and Steve Jobs. Is it a biographical thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Franklin.
Yeah, I can repeat the people. Benjamin Franklin, Henry Kissinger, Steve Jobs, and Albert Einstein.
Is it something they accomplished or something by the nature of their birth, like where they were born or their parentage or something like that?
No, it has something to do with their biography.
They're all on the cover of Time magazine.
No. Henry Kissinger, Steve Jobs.
Gee. Well, two are German, other than that. Franklin?
No.
Franklin, Kissinger, Jobs. Who's the fourth one?
Franklin.
Franklin, Kissinger, Jobs, and Einstein.
Yeah.
Einstein.
Huh. Edward Franklin.
Is it something to do with their schooling? And their education, no?
Is it a biographical thing? Did anyone?
Yeah,
it is a biographical.
It is a biographical. Okay.
With that biography, yeah.
They're all born on the same day.
Well, no.
Okay.
That'd be good. Give us a bigger hint.
Yeah.
If I give the hint, it'll be obvious. So
okay.
I can give it an answer. The answer is Walter Isaacson.
Oh, he did a biography of each of them. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Very
good question.
That was
question.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, one more question. So,
four interesting people.
A popular tradition began in the late 1970s after a stage play called Bleacher Bum. The play was in 1977. Something in the play was so popular that it became a tradition.
I saw the play.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
I reviewed it. Wasn't that written by Joe Mantegna?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. 1970, and there's something about...
Something that in the performing of the play.
Yes.
Okay.
And now is a part of the culture.
You mean it's done in many other plays, this tradition?
It's just in one play that I know of. This tradition.
Hmm.
Is it that the cast meets the audience in the theater afterwards?
No. It's been going on for a while. Well, it's about the Cubs,
yeah.
I think. And
I think the guy who wrote it was the actor on NYPD Blue.
Joe Mantegna wrote it.
I thought it was
maybe some of
Dennis Franz. That's who I thought it was. Oh. Maybe not.
No, we don't know. I'm sorry.
The act of throwing the baseball back after a home run.
All right.
The act of what?
Throwing the baseball back after a home run by the opposite team.
Really?
That started in that play?
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a great trivia.
Good questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm with Jerry.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. The number with a question or answer is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. All right. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to give you two actors who shared the same role. In other words, they didn't play it together in one movie, but they played it in different films. So tell me what the role is. And they're all real people, all right? So these two actors played a real person in different films. Number one, John Wayne and Omar Sharif. Number two, Charlton Heston and Vincent Price. Number three, Betty Davis and Marlena Dietrich. So these actors shared a real person role in different films. Number one, John Wayne and Omar Sharif. Number two, Charlton Heston and Vincent Price. Number three, Betty Davis and Marlena Dietrich.
I didn't think Wayne ever played a role that was based on a real person.
Oh, yeah, a couple times.
The Green Beret was He did. That was a reel based on.
Is that? I don't know.
Actually, probably half a dozen times he played real people. Yeah.
Name a couple. Sansa Iwo Jima, was that a real?
No. The one where he played that guy who put out the oil fires. Red Adair.
All right. Omar Sharif didn't play Red Adair.
No, didn't play Red Adair.
I don't think so. Sharif and Wayne, the same role. Yeah. Gosh. Dana, come on.
So who was the lover of Fanny Bryce? Did John Wayne play that part?
No, he didn't play that part.
You mean, Fiverr Strikes
Down. What real person did these two performers share? What role?
Sharif was in the one with Candace Bergen out in the desert. Is that the right movie for Omar Sharif? He was
Oh, you're thinking of Sean Connery.
Okay.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Did Wayne ever play either of them, General Rommel?
No, General Rommel. No. So once more, John Wayne and Omar Sharif, Charlton Heston and Vincent Price, Betty Davis and Marlene Dietrich, they all play a real person in different films.
Price.
I think Omar Sharif is the key to that one. If we can figure out his movies, we'll match him to Wayne. Vincent. So
Davis
Heston
and Dietrich.
So Vincent Price didn't play Moses, as I recall.
No.
That isn't the one. Or Ben-Hur, who probably wasn't real. Real people.
And let's go to a call.
Not a clue.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
So I always get Charles Evans Hughes confused with Henry Cabot Lodge, but I do know that they were both these Republican war horses from around the same era, so he must have been beaten by a Democrat, meaning Wilson.
That's correct. 1916, nice. Woodrow Wilson. It was a fairly close election, I understand.
And the thing that's faster than a speeding bullet, wouldn't that have to be Superman?
It is, but he's not in the Olympics ever, and especially not this year. Good guess.
anyway, I have a question.
Yes.
I tried to get in last week. There wasn't enough time. It was a question about a piece of music by a composer in the 16th century that's credited with saving polyphonic music and therefore basically saving the history of Western music.
Wow.
Because the cardinals at the Council of Trent thought that polyphonic music was just getting so weird that people couldn't hear the words, so they wanted to go back to Gregorian chant.
But this was not a... was this a piece of music that had words to it as well, or just a...
Yes, it had words, and it was just so exquisite and so wonderful that they couldn't, that it changed their minds.
Was it Paco Bell Canon?
No, that's much later.
Okay.
So this was a piece of high Renaissance or
16th century.
Do you feel like you would give it would give the question away to tell us what country this person was from?
Well, sort of the obvious one with the church involved.
So Italy?
Yeah. And you may not know the piece, but certainly the composer.
Did the name start with a P?
Yes.
All right. I may be mispronouncing it. I probably am. Palmisteri or?
Pretty much, that you're thinking of the right person.
Okay, that's as far as I can go.
Shall I just give it to you? It's Palestrina.
Palestrina. Okay. Oh, nice.
And it's right. And it's Missa Papai Marcelli.
Oh.
It's a piece, and it's an exquisite piece of music.
So thanks for the question. I'm sure I could have gotten the answer. I could not have gotten the answer without your hints. So.
I'm going to take one more crack.
Thank you very much.
At the TV movie, popular TV movie.
Yes.
Best years of our lives?
No. Mm-mm.
Gone with the Wind.
No.
How about Charlton Heston and Vincent Price both playing Michelangelo?
No.
Oh, that was...
Because Vincent Price was an art guy.
Yeah, an art guy.
It's definitely a real person in a historical role, but it's not Michelangelo.
Mm-hmm. I thought I guessed that.
And I should tell you on that they're both supporting roles in the various films. So, in other words, the Vincent Price and
for both
Charlton
Heston.
Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Karen.
So, the only answer we were certain of was Kentucky, which Lori got. So for the Lifetime Grammy, how about Kitty Wells?
Kitty Wells is
Oh, good job. Good job.
Excellent.
And that is a surprise.
She's recently died. And
Yeah,
that is a surprise.
Way to go.
And for the fastest moving thing in the Olympics, how about a laser?
That's it. They use a laser beam now in one of the shooting events in the pentathlon.
Oh.
It's the moving and shooting, and the laser is quite a bit faster. It goes faster.
So we take the gold in guessing on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, you do.
Excellent work. Gee, Kitty Wells and the laser beam.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You've had a good night.
Right. Yeah.
Though I do kind of like that idea of the whip.
All right.
I would like to see
I won't,
some scantily clad woman with a cigarette in her mouth and having it taken out with a whip.
Kitten with a whip. Yeah. And Margaret.
There were cheerleaders in the men's volleyball today. Do you know that?
Were there cheerleaders?
There were actual cheerleaders on the sidelines.
Cheerleading was a sport, isn't it?
We'd watch that, yes. Yeah. And they have with the whips, cheerleaders with the whips.
It really is. I was guessing. Is it? Are you kidding?
It's not in the Olympics.
No. It might be.
Only in your Olympics. Gerald Nachman Olympics.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi. This is Bill from Vallejo. John W. Davis was defeated by Calvin Coolidge.
Correct. Yes.
And I think Parker was defeated by Teddy Roosevelt.
He was. Very good.
And Davis has two footnotes in history. He was also trounced by somebody else, a future Supreme Court justice.
He was trounced by somebody else. When you say in an election, he was...
Not in an election. No, he lost a case.
Oh, he lost. He was a prominent lawyer, and he was probably was he arguing before the Supreme Court?
Yes.
So it must be William Howard Taft.
No.
Let's see. So, tell me what you're looking for once more.
He lost a case, a Supreme Court's case, to somebody who subsequently became a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Subsequently,
I do not know.
Ooh. Felix Frankfurter.
No.
No. I'm just guessing on this. Go ahead.
Thurgood Marshall.
Oh.
He represented the Board of Education in Brown v. Board.
Oh, very interesting.
That's
very interesting.
Got that. Yeah.
Good. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Judy in Berkeley, and some of my answers have been taken, but meanwhile, I heard your question about Omar Sharif and John Wayne.
Yes.
Is it Genghis Khan?
It is Genghis Khan, yes.
Of course.
Very good.
Excellent.
Yeah,
I have a friend who likes old movies who keeps making me watch John Wayne. Thanks.
All right, thanks a lot.
What movie was Omar Sharif, Genghis Khan?
It was called Genghis Khan.
Same as the John Wayne
movie. Yeah. No, the John Wayne movie is called The Conqueror.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. So, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
It's Ken from Santa Cruz. I hate having my answers answered while I'm waiting on the phone, but because I had laser in Kentucky.
Oh, man. And,
give that guy
give a bell.
For waiting.
He deserves a bell.
Is field hockey one of the Olympic sports?
No. It's not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was all I had left.
We've made no progress.
Well, thanks a lot. All right. Better clean up here. Jerry, anything?
I'm cleaned up.
Okay.
All right. The modern pentathlon where George Patton participated. So it's based in military events. The five events are military: pistol shooting, now with a laser beam.
I said marksmanship.
Oh, yeah. Fencing, the 200-meter freestyle swimming, show jumping with a horse that we got, and a 3-kilometer cross-country run. Those are the five events. Soldiers
bizarre,
did those. I know.
Jeez.
And I think that's it for me.
Okay. The four Olympic sports in which the U.S. has never won a medal, at least not up until this year, handball, table tennis, badminton, and rhythmic gymnastics, my favorite. Yes.
Jeez. Gee, I'm surprised at the latter one. Yeah.
What are the two most frequently shown classic American movies on TV pre-1965? Casablanca and Magnificent Seven. The Magnificent Seven, yes. Who shared a role? John Wayne, Omar Sharif, of course, Genghis Khan. Charlton Heston and Vincent Price, excuse me, both played Sergeant Richelieu, or Sergeant Richelieu, Cardinal Richelieu. Sergeant Richelieu. We had to start someplace.
Yeah. That was his brother.
Betty Davis and Marlene Dietrich both played Catherine the Great.
Oh.
So if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We certainly enjoy bringing the show to you. And if you enjoyed it this week, I'm sure you'll enjoy it next week because the same three people will be back. So feel free to join us then. And thank you, everybody. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Of course, Debbie Kennedy does her usual fine work. And Steve Wilcott will handle the phone. So thanks, everybody. And please join us next Sunday at 7. Have a great week. Enjoy the Olympics. Bye-bye.